I'm president and you're not.
Thursday, okay? Just remember Thursday. Thursday. Can you remember Thursday?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Place to go.
611, hi, show number 1,244. Facebook.com, Steve Cochran Show. Twitter is at Cochran Show. And, well, you know who you are.
That was a really good Bill Curtis.
Was it?
Yeah.
I've seen Curtis in the hallways lately. Have you? Has he been around?
I haven't.
Hi, everyone. Eric Edelstein later. Rick Pearson later. Pat Brady will be on the phone from some road trip in Arizona. Coach Q later, as Dave just told you. Corey Crawford is back tonight.
About it.
He stayed over last night. We had a little, we had s'mores.
You didn't keep him up too late, did you?
No, I just wanted to, pet talk him.
You got a campfire going, or you do it over the stove?
We put a pup tent out in the yard.
That's okay.
You know, a little chilly. But so he's feeling good. He's feeling good.
All right. How are you feeling, Steve?
Yeah.
90%.
90. That's pretty good.
Two things. 90% and not contagious. Huh?
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah, that's all based on his knowledge. Are you on antibiotics?
No, no. No. Well, not on antibiotics. Not based on my knowledge. Extensive medical testing.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Yes. Most of it done at home.
Self-medical testing.
Yeah. Listen, you got to do what you got to do. But let's jump right in because Nick will be standing by. We got a lot to do. And let's start right now.
In the lovely Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
And we want to thank American Weathermakers, fine partners of the program. At 6:13, you know, there's a lot of things you could talk about. The White House potentially complicit in covering up a murder. That seems big. But instead, let's go to Bartman's Revenge. Dave, what happened with Houston and Boston last night? And do we have another in the pantheon of potential Bartmans out there?
No. I don't think so because Jose Altuve, who hit the ball and had the home run wiped out by the right field umpire, Joe West, who ruled fan interference.
And by the way, Joe West may be the most unpopular umpire
to
in the
start
last
with,
25
even
years
even before last night.
Yes.
Even just baseball, I'd say. All sports.
Altuve was quick to say that this fan, who's a lifelong Astros fan, he says he's one of our, I don't blame him, he's one of our guys who is out there rooting for us.
Now, Moises and Alou came in and said that guy's got to be killed immediately.
He did. Altuve said, I would have done the same thing if I was sitting in the stands.
Where's the internet? They can't superimpose a Moises Alou freaking out.
I'm sure there is one.
How's there not
somewhere.
A Bartman meme,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
And as I've said for years, since what, was it 03? How long has it been now?
03? Yeah, 03. Yeah.
15 years now, I've been saying, much like the Zapruder film, fat guy in a gray sweatshirt, never took any heat on that. He is just as guilty, and he should be imprisoned as well. Unless he's a regular listener. Then I'm all before you, glad you're in hiding.
It's all Bartman. Yeah.
I think what's interesting here is what the Astros are saying is that there weren't enough cameras and that they didn't have a good enough replay to wipe out the fan interference call.
That's a
cop out. Well, no, wait a minute, Justin.
There's a bunch of big cheaters, though, too.
Well, he was saying, first it starts with, we're told that we have too many cameras in the park, then we're told that apparently we don't. I mean, he's saying that, he wanted the call to go their way, obviously, but they're saying that there wasn't anything on the replay that could overturn the call that West made.
That's ridiculous. The only problem I have with the piece from a common standpoint, Dave, as someone who just didn't even watch a game, just watched a replay, is my layman approach to baseball is that that right fielder's or left field, whatever it was, is not going to catch that ball. He's jumping for the ball. If he was feet planted on the warning track and if someone reached over, that's fan interference. Him jumping into the stands to grab the ball, I feel like that the rule should be fair game. If a fan gets it before you, that's baseball.
Totally agree.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. But that's, again, they're not... The Astros are not saying we lost the game because this call was made.
Yeah.
Now, that's a little different than
they did lose.
Go back 15 years. Yeah.
Anybody get Bartman on this?
No.
Sandberg Bartman on the show today?
He is not on the show.
It's a shame.
And frankly, it's Astros Red Sox. So who cares?
And it looks like Red Sox Dodgers.
Well, looks at
well,
yeah, 3-1. Looks that way.
Hey, the Astros could come back could here. Come back.
Well, I mean,
I'm rooting for the Astros, so I've got.
I look at
based
it
based on your Halloween costume.
Yep.
The Dodgers are taking a 3-2 lead to Milwaukee. They got to win one of those two. Milwaukee's been tough at home.
Yeah, so it's good. I want both series to go 7.
Yeah, I think it very well could.
Next, investigators have a 100% expectation that the missing Wisconsin girl, Jamie Kloss, is still alive. How they have this 100% expectation, we don't know. We don't need to know. We do need, pray and hope that she is alive and that she could be found as quickly as possible, dealing with whatever damage has already taken place, including the fact that her parents were killed in their home Monday morning after having been shot, and she has been gone since then. Obviously, if you have even a whiff of information, anything suspicion, just an inkling that you may know somebody that knows something, call your authorities, your local police. There's no downside to that. Next. FBI raided a Northside home yesterday, made arrest on part of a terrorism-related investigation. Steve Grzanich?
Yep.
What do we know about this?
Just what you have said. People are being very tight-lipped about it. The government being very tight-lipped, referring all answers to national security concerns. But we're hoping we will learn more about this today. But very concerning. Very concerning.
I know I heard neighbors say that the house had paper on the windows and things like that. So
I heard rumors of a bomb-making facility. Is that just the talk? Internet talk?
I did not.
You haven't heard that evidentially.
I do not hear rumors like that.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. Next. On Sunday, Northwestern University alum Julia Louis-Dreyfus will get this year's Mark Twain Prize for American Humor from the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., as she should. As she should. She lost her sister in August, and it's weird. It wasn't her half-sister. It wasn't reported until as recently as this week. Her sister was 44 years old and part of the Dreyfus advertising fortune. The Dreyfus family, one of the richest families in the world. The great-grandfather started, I think it was a great-grandfather. Yeah, it must have been a great-grandfather. Started the world's first advertising agency in Paris. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus has way more money in the bank and in her inheritance than she could ever make in show business.
And she's got a lot of money from show business.
She's got a lot of money from show business.
She well-deserved. She's one of the best character actors out there.
She's tremendous. Tremendous. And a nice person, by the way. Tiny. Well, I don't know why that wouldn't make her a nice person. She's tiny and a nice person.
I've never met her.
But her her half-sister had a seizure related to a potential meds and booze combination on, I think it was a camping trip back in August. And there's been almost nothing said about it. And the family's dealing with it in private, and they're entitled to do that. Next, J.B. Pritzker, campaign workers, filing a lawsuit against alleging racial discrimination. The group apparently asked for $7.5 million to settle before they went public. They went public. The Pritzker campaign says nothing to it. We'll see if that goes anywhere.
Steve, J.B. Pritzker is going to be joining Pete McMurray today on our air in studio at 2:05.
Is he?
Is he, yeah. So I would say J.B. likes Pete McMurray more than you, or he doesn't like mornings.
Stoking the flames. Look at Murray. Oh, look at this tidbit of information I have, Steve. Let me surprise you with this.
Well, isn't that interesting? You know, you'll find that a lot of politicians like Pete McMurray better than me.
Yep.
Next. And American intelligence officials have increasing evidence, all circumstantial at this point, that MBS, Prince Mohammed bin Salman of Saudi Arabia, the crown prince, the heir to the throne, was behind the killing of Jamal Khashoggi. This is a really big story, and rightfully a big story. As of now, the White House says, we'll see.
Did I read that the White House, that the president himself said, evoked Brett Kavanaugh in this? That he said,
yes.
He said, you know, here we are, innocent. Aren't we innocent until proven guilty? Didn't we just see this with Brett Kavanaugh?
Yeah. That's exactly what he said.
Wow.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said, along with the fact that he said, hey, not an American citizen, none of our business. Well, they don't use the American analogy, which makes no sense in the first place anyway. Yeah. There's a lot of talk about why the president would be a part of this and why the president is defending Saudi Arabia. Well, we know that there's a lot of Trump money in Saudi Arabia because Trumps have said there is, even though the president denied he ever said it this week. He's not even trying anymore.
And this is why at the beginning when there was so much kerfuffle about the ethics of trying to separate the Trump business from the Trump White House and everything in that, and everyone's like, why does it matter? Why do we want... This is why, because when you have possible conflict of interest where your money is more important than you know what America stands for, and you know that hasn't played out yet because we'll see what the president does here, but that's where that creeping doubt comes in.
And the president's new slogan for the remainder of whatever time he's in office should be did not, because there's video that exists all over saying exactly what he said right before he said I didn't say it. Was it Shaggy? Wasn't me? Was that the song?
Wasn't me.
Yeah.
I feel a parody coming on. Where's John DeCoff?
Give me a little hook of Wasn't Me today every time I bring up the name Trump.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
He is Nick at night, to Julio. He knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
Voice of John DeCoss. He'll be back on the show tomorrow with his new knee, his other new knee. Nick joins us now. Let me go there first. And good morning, Nick.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. And how are you?
Good.
Got a couple of staff things we need to clear up first, one of which is a text that came in at 5 a.m. that I noticed that suggests you do something with a Butterfinger candy bar, which I believe is physically impossible without a lot of yoga.
What, me?
Mm-hmm. Somebody upset with you, or they're suggesting that you and a Butterfinger candy bar get acquainted. What would have been discussed at that point?
Was there a reason why they were upset with me specifically, or just my existence?
No, I mean, I thought maybe you were discussing Halloween candy or something. I don't understand the Butterfinger candy bar reference.
No.
Okay, so just another friend of Nick.
That's right.
And Diane is calling in. She's got trouble on the show as well. You know, it gets past 7 o'clock at night here, and things get weird. Diane's in Elmhurst. What was Andrea complaining about on the Patty and Andrea show?
Good morning. It was very funny last night. She was complaining that Mary Vanderbilt has thrown out at least two of her Tupperware containers in the last building in the refrigerator. She said that she has some Greek food that sometimes looks old, I don't know, because of the leaf color or something, and you threw it out. She had bought them at Costco, and that you owe her at least two. And a couple pictures.
Tupperware killer? You're a Tupperware killer.
What the heck?
She said you were in the fridge,
Yeah, the fridge Nazi.
No, she didn't use the word Nazi. It was something else, but something. And she said, no, my Greek food sometimes looks that way. And it was funny. It was a very funny exchange. And then a couple of texters chimed in and said, no, you don't. Mary doesn't owe you Tupperware. And she was adamant. She said, yes, she does. I bought those at Costco. Those weren't the type you get free at a restaurant. And
I like the
it
fact.
It was very funny.
Thank you for the call, by the way, and report in any time. We need to rat out staff. Vanderbilt, what's the story here? Nick and I want to know.
I have no idea. I think she still holds a grudge. I think maybe one time I might have thrown away.
Well, you would give fair warning. You would say, people, I'm throwing away your stuff.
Not always, because she threw away a thing of blueberries of mine that were like $7
that I paid
for. Talking
about the blueberries.
The whole thing
mold
of blueberries.
On them.
Mary, I didn't know you were throwing stuff away.
Yeah, crazy.
I encourage the throwing away. Can I say I have quit my job as the refrigerator person because of this?
You say nobody, that now.
Nobody
Nick, did Vanderbilt throw out any of your stuff?
Oh, no. I wouldn't put anything in the fridge with her around.
Except beer. From your show or something. There was sometimes some beer.
You're throwing away beer?
I would just take that home.
Well, I haven't had beer in 3 years. So.
Yeah. Nick's not the guy that would have beer on the show.
I like the accusation that Greek food looks old. I bet it's those Dumalde things, you know, those cabbage roll things. Because that color, that nasty cabbage does.
Well, yeah. For the 20% of this audience that's Greek, we're taking your side, whatever your side is.
I know what she's getting for Christmas, that's for sure.
All right, what movie did you see with your parents?
We saw two. We saw First Man and Bad Times at El Royale. And I'll tell you something. Best afternoon of movie back-to-back that I've seen all year.
Oh, is that right? They're both good.
Absolutely. To First Man, and I so encourage people, and I normally don't do this, go the extra mile, see it in IMAX. You know, I normally tell people, you know, screw the 3D, don't go to the IMAX. But in this case, you should see First Man in IMAX.
What's an IMAX ticket cost now? I don't even know.
I don't know. Like $16 or something, okay. $17.
All right. Well, yeah. If it's a good movie, it's worth it.
No, and it's a great movie. It's a great movie that no one went to see last week, which makes me nuts. So people are going to see Venom, for God's sake, and they're not going to see First Man. And then Bad Times at the El Royale was just great and weird and awesome. And it's my favorite actor of all time is in it, Jeff Bridges, and he kicks butt in it. And it's got a great cast, and it's really a lot. It's very, very twisty. And really, really great. And it was, it was a great double bill. My parents loved both of them.
Sorry, I was distracted for a second. Vandeveld stole my wallet. this weekend's new movies include a Jamie Curtis Halloween redo.
Yeah, well, it's a
Jamie
sequel. Jamie Lee Curtis, yes, who was my childhood crush. And
you need to explain to the kids long before there was internet. There was Jamie Lee Curtis in Halloween. Hello.
Jamie Lee Curtis. Yeah, I was 13 years old when I saw Halloween. It was the movie that changed my life. And
better than the Sears catalog.
And I just was, you know, I love her. And I got to meet her back in 1990 when she was in town to promote Blue Steel. She was on Roy's show. And Roy's like, why don't you come in and sit on the interview, man? And so I went in. Catherine Bigelow directed that movie. She was there, too. So I have a picture of me between Jamie Lee Curtis and Catherine Bigelow.
Well, that's a good
and,
name.
No, and I look like I'm on drugs. I'm just like, and it's and so of course Roy went out of his way to tell Jamie Lee Curtis that I had a massive crush on her and that she was nice. And so she got very touchy feely and was kissing me. It was ridiculous.
Are you sure you didn't dream this? This actually happened?
No, it's for real.
Okay, as long as it actually happened. All right, so you are hopeful for Halloween. Beautiful Boy and Oprah are also out. Nick will tell you about those after he sees them. We're all done with the political ads on TV. What I want to know is the longest yard. How are ticket sales and how do we get tickets?
They're going okay. And we wanted to do a tribute to Burt Reynolds, and I was very happy to find out that we could show The Longest Yard, which is a movie that never gets screened. And we got a restoration, 4K restoration, digital restoration of it. And it's one of his most crowd-pleasing movies. And we were showing it on November 13th. At the AMC Rosemont 18, tickets are $10. Parking is free, and it is a great movie. And this is a very rare opportunity to see it on the big screen. Steve, this movie is fantastic.
It's tremendous. Yeah. One of his best, if not his best. And Nick does a Q&A, and if you want to talk more about it, he'll follow you home.
Yes, I will. Absolutely.
All right, buddy. Enjoy the day, and we're back with the headlines right after this on 720 WGN. All right, 6:44, the breaking news-ish theme. We've got some developing news here. And frankly, we thought this story was behind us. Pete Zimmerman joins us. Pete, you told us earlier this summer that you had been the victim of, it's something that's known in the mob world as eggplanting. take us back. What happened with you and your family in an eggplant?
Over the summer, we were coming home and we noticed an eggplant placed in front of our house.
An actual eggplant.
An eggplant, yeah, with a really menacing etching inside, like the Anarchy A carved on the eggplant. Yes.
Sending a message.
Sending a message.
An eggplant just message.
Big summer mystery, right?
Right, and then so we just threw it out, didn't really think too much of it, and then exactly like a week to the day, hour, everything, boom, again. Same eggplant, same spot, same markings.
First one could be an accident.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Eggplants can come from anywhere with an anarchy
A
on
a creative squirrel.
Second one,
right.
Second one's a little disconcerting.
Right. A very creative squirrel.
And that's when we call the police. and they were disinterested.
You made your wife call the police.
Yeah, that's true.
I would love to see the look on the police officer's face.
I'm sorry, you got a what?
You got a what?
Writing
what
are we doing writing here? It down on the fake paper.
Let me
get this down.
So two, is that the entire eggplant drop?
I think there were three or four total.
Right, because then they threw a couple weeks in the middle, right?
Yeah.
That's what they do. They send you a message.
And then
they wait, and just when you think you're safe, another eggplant.
Exactly. And then we talked about it here, and I believe we may have scared the perpetrator.
Scared him away. Until when?
Yesterday.
No way.
Yesterday.
What?
Yesterday. You came home and found it?
Yeah. The weird thing is I got home kind of late. I got home like at 3-ish. And I every day since this happened, I take a peek to see if anything is showing up.
Eggplant trauma.
At 3, nothing. I'm like, okay, you know, no eggplant go in the house.
Eggplant check's done for the day.
Yeah. And then I leave the house to go to the gym at 5, and it's there.
So somewhere between 3 and 5, someone or something.
It's a new time slot.
Exactly. Yeah, they changed it up.
Yeah, because before it was when you guys were at the gym in the morning.
Exactly.
And you do not have one of those fancy cameras outside your home.
We have not.
I think we need to go camera.
We have not done anything.
I think we need. Now, I volunteered.
Advice.
Dave, you may need to actually take this up in your nature preserve.
Okay.
I volunteered to take Pete and Molly into my home for their own safety as this eggplant continues. And then Sandberg reminded me that they have cats. And
they have two dogs and a cat. Lemur, Stickers, and Zuzu are their regular pets. And then they're fostering
a
cat named Arlo, and then Roger and Stevie, the kittens.
In other words, I'd be dead within an hour. So, Dave, if you could take them into your nature preserve, that probably would be best.
I'd be okay with that, except my dog does not like cats.
Well, that's fine. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what am I going to do? I'm not giving him away.
No. Put the cats on a leash.
Maybe the eggplant man doesn't like cats either.
Yeah. That's the thing. We talked about this. We don't believe it's a neighbor, even though your neighbors aren't close friends. We don't believe that it's someone that just, I don't know, passes by and drops an eggplant out of their jewel bag.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So what is the point?
Because, I mean, I brought the eggplant in for...
That's a menacing, brutal. It's a menacing etching
and
on
it's
the eggplant.
It's the exact etching.
And what would you say? Like, how is this a new eggplant?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, right off the Whole Foods top of the eggplant pile.
Sandberg, let me see the top of that thing.
May I touch it?
Let Justin. Okay. Can you trace where that eggplant was purchased? And then they had probably have a camera in.
You're suggesting
purchase,
put a
though.
Chip in all eggplants, a tracking chip?
Yes, because I'm sure
there's
the
no
produce
sticker.
Department has
there's no sticker, so I'm not sure that it's...
Can I suggest one of those Nest cameras?
That's what we're just talking about, yeah.
Because it sends you a motion detector. Alert to your phone every time somebody comes up onto your porch. That's, I think, how we're going to nail this person.
What makes this so interesting is it's an eggplant, and it looks like a homegrown eggplant. I know it's really hard to tell, but just by the coloring of it, that if you go into a grocery store, they put so much needling into that stuff that they make it look as fresh and colorful as possible. This is a muted brown, so it tells me.
Okay, Van Gogh.
It tells me that there's a little bit of this. This is something that is more organic or natural than something being in the grocery store.
Did you upset a gardener at some point?
We don't have any beefs. We're current beefs.
Can I ask? This is the exact same strange A that's on the other ones.
Yeah.
So it's an A, but what it does, it's almost, think about it like a star. So it's an A.
That's the anarchy.
At the bottom of the A, there's a line that makes it almost like look like a half-drawn star as opposed to an A. So it's not an anarchy A, but it's something that's definitely...
Well, but you're getting you're getting a little technical.
I'm trying to tell the people home.
Can
it's
you
like
tell
a nice
what they carved it with?
Yeah.
Is that an X-Acto knife?
It's a knife. It's not a fingernail. It goes deep. You can tell.
Listen, for the sake of the people that don't have video on, let's put this up somewhere so they can see it.
I think we should send this to the forensic crime lab. I bet you they could nail this down to the block of where the soil was used to grow this.
Yeah, but we would have to get them to quit laughing first.
Are you not friends with Billy Peterson? You can't get him to look at it?
He's not doing anything.
You could call him. Sure. A lot of people think that was just a TV show, but
he knows what's up.
This one, this was also dropped in a little bit of a different spot. It was closer to the home.
Was it upright?
No, it was laying on its side.
So you think they're tossing it from the street, like over your fence?
We don't. Somebody's
suggesting fingerprints, but now we've all touched
it. Yeah, they're just going to find Justin's fingerprints.
Like before, like we would pull up in front of our house in the car, and it was like right there, like close to the curb. This time, as I was exiting the house, it was it was like right next to the sidewalk. Listen,
we have discussed all the things you're thinking now as you drive to work. Is this some sort of mob message?
Mm-hmm.
You Google the hell out of this. You're just not going to find anything. And we also asked listeners before. We'll ask you again. Have you ever had an eggplant drop? Have you ever had a menacing eggplant drop? And what does it mean? Now, the only thing we came up with, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe we came up with this. The last times the eggplant came by, you guys were working out, right? You were at your gym?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is it possible, since you were also, you know, late home the other day, were you going to work out then?
Yesterday?
Yeah, the yesterday.
No.
Okay, but you were later in the day.
My point being,
is there a chance you didn't clean the machine after you got off it at the gym? And a guy got up there and he got the sweaty handles and then he's upset.
It's funny that you mentioned that because about a month ago, I was on the treadmill and I was running and I was next to a power walker, which is always irritating.
Yeah, that's me.
Really? Power walking?
Pumping those elbows.
And then, we finished like our part on the treadmill, which is like 20 minutes, and I'm like, I'm sweating profusely.
Right.
And the person next to me, she stopped and she said, "You know, you're sweating on my treadmill."
Hello.
Maybe don't run full speed.
I was like, what do you mean? Like, this is what we're doing.
Yeah, this is a gym.
And I kind of was snotty to her. And I haven't seen her back since. So I just like,
right.
You know, did you notice if she had soil under her fingernails?
Her name was Jennifer Eggplant.
Texter says this sounds like a episode of Sons of Anarchy. You know, we don't know if there are motorcycles involved.
I was going to say, is this? That's one thing we need to ask the kind of crowdsource.
Oh, this is interesting.
Something that is pop culture, meaning it's on a TV show or something that might be the inspiration.
224. Have you cut any of them open to see if there's anything inside?
Oh, should we do this?
No, I have not.
I hadn't thought about that.
It doesn't seem like there's any open seams.
Sandberg, hold it up, see if it's ticking. No, nothing.
I'd suggest we x-ray it first before we cut it open.
Yeah. With our regular x-ray machine we have here at Tribune Media?
We can take it over to Northwestern Medicine. I bet you they'd x-ray it for us.
Just see, calling Lauren, my daughter-in-law. Hey, when you get into work, could you x-ray an eggplant for me?
Yeah.
And Lisa in Franklin Park has...
Well, Lisa, what do you got?
Lisa, talk to me. What do you have?
I have not had an eggplant, but I had a taco with a single bite out of it on my bedroom windowsill, followed a month later by a cinnamon sugar cookie, and 2 months later on the opposite bedroom windowsill was the second cinnamon sugar cookie, and then a Twizzler in my garden glove that I left, went to take a picture. It was gone, and it was then in my lawn mowing shoe.
Is this continued, or did you have these episodes and it ended?
It's after the Twizzler, it stopped. But I'm curious to see what's going to happen because it seems to be every few months that some bizarre food item shows up outside.
I have a theory. But this is the brilliance of the perpetrators, because the brilliance of the perpetrators is none of this makes sense.
I say, in Lisa's case, that's an easier one. The eggplant's harder. Either a squirrel or something, or a snacking peeping Tom. So that's either you're going to go one way or the other.
Very skilled squirrel.
Yeah, it's one of the two. And Pete's, I can't figure it out. Maybe there is something. Maybe.
All right, we got to cut it open.
Yeah. Maybe we got to cut it open.
No, I think you should decorate it for Halloween and put it back out.
Is a peace offering?
Yeah.
Like decorate it for Halloween
just
and put
say,
it out and see what happens?
It's funny. Or it's a funny joke.
Matt, let's cut it open and see what happens. And let's when I say cut it open, let's have Bennett cut it open.
Or you give us clear investigative powers, like Robert Mueller type stuff.
Yeah.
And Steve and I will stake it out for a week, stake your house out.
Right. Subtly, because, you know, I can only squat for so long. So, like, if I'm going to crouch behind bushes for too long, the knees are going to go. All right, so we know what the eggplant emoji means. We don't believe that has anything related to this. 815, I feel for Pete. I found a garbage bag full of dog dew on my porch last week. Just the bag. So there are people out there who feel your pain, but nobody seems to have had the eggplant experience. Again, a band I was in.
It's a weird one.
Yeah,
for sure.
All right, listen, we're going to move on and hope that that eggplant doesn't blow up. But if it does, you'll know here first. There's an email website, eggplantmail.com, where you can mail an eggplant. So
we talked about this.
Wonder if so maybe if we get the camera hooked up, all we see is a postman.
Hmm? There's certain ways that plays out. That's not how this would be. Like they put a note on it. They do it. There's a box. There's a whole thing. We already went through this website. I don't think it's an actual organized eggplant drop.
Well, you know, we're going to continue to look. I mean, God willing, we'll find the culprit.
I think we're onto something that it's not store-bought.
Why are we so blessed?
Well, we'll get to that later, Todd. First off, some predictions from the sports fans on today's game. Pat?
Bulls, 149-23.
Carl?
Bulls, 149-52.
Okay, some difference of opinion there between you guys. Todd?
Bulls, 402 to zip.
The Bulls.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Who can set the court on fire?
Well, we don't have a lot of time here, but then again, neither does Connor. He's a busy 10-year-old, and Connor Gibbs is an NBA nut. He loves the NBA. And the Bulls season opens with who tonight?
Philly.
The Philadelphia 76ers. Sixers on the road.
Connor Gibbs joins us. Connor, you're 10 years old?
Yes.
All right, Connor, we were going to go and, Steve Kerr call in and talk about the old days and preview this, but we prefer you. What do you think of this Bulls team?
I think they could be a contender this year. Not win the championship, but they could make the playoffs.
And why do you feel that way?
They're a good young team, and they have a lot of potential.
Connor, Jabari Parker came over from the Milwaukee Bucks. A little bit of question about where he's going to play, if he's going to start, if he's going to come off the bench. What do you think of Jabari Parker?
I think it's really cool that he's back in his hometown, and I think he could be decent.
Dave Ennett, you are the sports director. Mm-hmm. What inside question do you have for your sports colleague, Connor?
Well, I'd like to ask Connor what he thinks of the Bulls defensively this year. I mean, not that they don't have questions offensively, but how do you think they'll be defensively, Connor?
I think they'll be better than people think they're going to be. They don't really have, a classic big man. I mean, Bobby Markkanen is, a really good shot blocker,
So
they have him.
Connor, where do you get your knowledge on hoops?
I just watch a lot of TV, and me and my dad watch it a lot together.
Well, it's very cool. I love your knowledge. Who's going to be the Bulls' top scorer this year?
I think Zach LaVine.
Okay, he's got to stay healthy, of course. And what do you feel about LeBron going to the Lakers? Is that enough to turn him around?
I think he could be pretty good there.
Okay.
I think they just need one more player.
One more piece. They need one more piece.
All right. Connor is going as Zach LaVine for Halloween this year.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
How tall are you, Connor?
I'm 4'8".
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, but you're going to pop up any time now.
Yeah.
Connor, who do you have? Who are the best? Who are the top three players in the NBA? Who should I be watching this year?
Kyrie Irving, Steph Curry, and LeBron.
There you go. That's a solid three.
James Harden doesn't make the cut. No Anthony Davis.
James Harden's pretty good.
Would you feel... I mean, I would feel better about James Harden if he shaved that beard. How about you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know how he runs in that thing. Well, Connor, can we check in with you on the Bulls throughout the season? Would you be willing to join us again?
Yeah.
Well, it'd be great. I mean, check with your dad. But if your dad says it's okay, then we'd like you to be, one of our Bulls people, if not our Bull person.
Okay.
All right, Connor, are you going to school now?
About 20 minutes.
All right, and how is your Lakeview Lakers basketball team going to be?
Pretty good.
You forward? What position do you play?
Point.
Point. Oh, sorry. Ooh. You're right. Of course you play the point.
Dish.
Of course, it's absolutely it.
He's the waiter.
Connor, thank you, buddy. I appreciate the insight.
Connor has a... Go ahead, Connor.
Bye.
Hey, Connor.
Advocate Center, Connor Gibbs, WGN Sports.
There you go. Fine job by Connor.
Just the way I trained him.
Yep. Yeah, well, you're cracking a whip. Back with the news in just a second at 720. WGN.
I was longtime friends with the mayor. I'm still fond of him. I'm disappointed in some of his decisions. And frankly, when he got in trouble with the McDonald video, and really after that, he was a different place. He just was not the same. And reforms kind of went out the window after that. So that made it tough for me. And so we got at odds on some key points. I look forward to working with the new mayor. Many of the
clean
candidates,
slate?
Absolutely. And many of the candidates I know very well, and I like them quite a bit.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
7:15, the full Rauner interview from the governor being in here on, Monday morning at WGNRadio.com. But Frederick Pearson, the finest political writer in America. I mean, there's nobody better. Come on. Who are you kidding? And Sunday mornings, he hosts, what show is that on Sunday mornings that you host?
That would be the Sunday Spin from 7 to 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings.
And I love it because before I watch the nonsense on television, I get the truth from you.
Well, I try to give everybody a chance to speak rather than having people shout over each other.
Yeah,
I think it's important for people to listen.
We got 2.5 weeks till the election. What is surprising you or not in Illinois?
Well, I mean, certainly we have these kind of late-breaking disclosures regarding Democratic candidate J.B. Pritzker, regarding this lawsuit filed by some disgruntled minority campaign workers alleging harassment in the campaign. And obviously that Inspector General's report regarding the remodeling of the mansion that he bought adjacent to his residence, and the Inspector General saying basically that this was an effort to defraud the public. These are big disclosures. The question is whether they really are going to carry any resonance as we go to the polls. It's been a campaign largely of everything old is new again kind of thing.
Well, your question is exactly right, because literally this morning the big international story is, and I'm not being dramatic here. The story is the White House complicit in a cover up of a murder. If that doesn't stick, how does Rauner get this to stick?
Right. And certainly I think that this whole issue of the Khashoggi death and the Trump administration's dealings with Saudi Arabia, with basically Trump supporters saying is the death of a journalist in a Saudi embassy worth risking $100 billion in arms sales? That's a ludicrous conversation to have.
Yeah, it is.
And but yet it's the conversation that's going on in Washington. And I'm not sure how that helps any Republican candidates on the ballot November 6th.
The Rauner himself denied having anything to do with the timing or the release of just the lawsuit in general. It is interesting and frankly worth, I think, exploring. A lot of times these lawsuits or these harassment allegations are just chalked up to political shenanigans. But this is something that I think might be worth exploring and talking more about the some of the allegations that were coming forward.
Well, Justin, I think it's interesting, but one thing that was kind of a theme in the lawsuit was there was no opportunity for advancement. And this is a political campaign. And field organizers, these were field organizers that filed the complaint, basically saying their hard work wasn't being recognized. Well, I mean, this, in a political structure like this one, it's a very short-term position. This isn't like, this is a career job working on a campaign. And political advancement is not something that you find in these kind of jobs because of that short-term duration.
So it's tough to show damages, and you have to show damages in a lawsuit.
Right. But I think just to try to claim that, we weren't given an opportunity to advance, in and of itself, in the nature of a political campaign, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
When the IG says that the candidate engaged in an effort to defraud, or were the words even stronger than that, that's pretty hardcore.
Except it wasn't really, it didn't name Pritzker. It just said that this whole scheme to defraud, using the Inspector General's words.
Scheme to defraud, right.
that this involved how the mansion got reassessed. It doesn't directly name the candidate itself, although there's an affidavit from Pritzker's wife, MK. There's emails from her brother, the candidate's brother-in-law, and as well as her personal assistant. This is something, again, that the Kim Fox, the Cook County State's Attorney's Special Investigations Unit, is reviewing. But, you know, the effort to try to paint this as necessarily somebody's going to go to jail, that Pritzker's going to go to jail this. Well, I find it highly doubtful. Now, certainly by the fact that he paid $330,000, which was the value of tax refunds he received, as well as the value of the underassessment, I mean, he says, well, that's just a kind of distraction. Well, I mean, certainly if you're paying that amount of money, not that he can't afford it, but that certainly amounts to some kind of admission that something wasn't right.
No question about it. And the question is, does it stick? That's what we keep coming back to. I'll let you go on this. Do we come down to the governor's race, the attorney general's race, the Sean Kasten, Peter Roskam race? The right's going to vote for the right. The left's going to vote for the left. And we have to see how many in the middle show up.
I think that's true, except for the fact of the motivational factor, and the question being, you know, is the right motivated enough to turn out? And that's going to be, I think, really the telling factor. I mean, just remember a few weeks ago, some of the surveys said that concerns out of Washington about losing Congress, the Republicans viewed largely as fake news. And if that's the attitude, that doesn't show a lot of motivation. Now, certainly with the Kavanaugh hearings, those kinds of things, Republicans were trying to use that to help drive turnout. But remember, their hallmark was supposed to be the tax cut, and no one's really talking about that.
Well, and one of the reasons is because we have a $21 trillion debt problem now, and you know, a little tax cut thing kind of boosted that bad boy. Mm.
Yep.
You know, you need dental records to identify the Republican Party now. I mean, that's how it's good. What else are you working on?
Well, obviously, we've got more follow-up on this lawsuit involving Pritzker. Both campaigns are out trying to crank out the get-out-the-vote, early-vote, mail-vote factor. So we'll be taking a look at all of that as well.
That's my friend Rick Pearson at Rep30 on social media and in your Chicago Tribune and on Channel 9 and here. And Sunday mornings at 7 a.m. He's up so you don't have to be. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Steve.
Eric Edelstein, in a moment, he'll clear up everything that we don't understand. And that's the pressure that he's under.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Burgers and fries and cherry pies. It was simple.
That's Eric Edelstein on the guitar. We'll get to him in just a second. First, on the most valuable person on the planet, would you, as a small business owner, spend your money for one of your customers, to just change things for one of your customers, to help one of your customers? Not everybody, just one. Here's the owner and operator of Highway 55 Burgers, Shakes, and Fries in Huntington, West Virginia. She did, Erin Downard. Good morning, Erin.
Hi.
You're a good person.
We try to be.
The story that I saw about you said you guys talk about love your neighbor and have respect for other people all the time. Tell me about Lisa Blankenship. Who is she to you?
She is one of our regular customers. She's the most adorable woman you've ever seen. Constantly laughing, very independent. And when we talk about love our neighbor with our staff, you know, it's going the extra mile to talk to them. And so we started to realize she's a pretty independent woman, but she's blind. And so it became one of those, what little way can we reach out and kind of do something for her? And a few blocks from where we are is where the Cabawain Association of the Blind is. And a quick phone call later, we had some Braille menus in the store for her.
How about that? One customer, and you're taking the extra step because she comes in a couple times a week and you care about her.
And we care about her. I mean, we try to find ways to connect to folks. It's a lot easier to connect folks and make somebody happy. It was one simple phone call, and it took a couple of seconds, and they quickly and easily turned around the menu so that Lisa could have it. So that was the nicest thing, and to see the joy. And she was so excited. We were so excited when she came in that first time after we had it.
I bet.
She didn't know it was happening. And so we were like, oh, Lisa's here. And everybody goes and rushes to get the menu to see who can give it to her first. And
yeah,
she sits down, Lisa, we've got something special for you. And, I mean, just pure joy on her face. And she's like, oh, my gosh, something I get to read myself.
Yeah, there's a dignity to it, right? She doesn't have to ask for help.
Dignity to it. I mean, her fingers went nuts going through the pages, page after page. She couldn't stop for the next 15, 20 minutes. Those fingers were just like fire.
Has it changed?
Reading through the menu.
Has it changed what she's ordered now that she knows the full depth of the menu?
She always kind of explored the menu. Her husband would read every single line of every, you know, most people are like, they've got some burgers, they've got some salads, they've got some cheesesteaks, but he would read every single line of the menu to her, toppings and all. So he was so excited because he could read the menu for himself, and it gave him a little bit of independence, but it gave her the independence, and she likes to explore the menu anyway. I don't know that Lisa ever gets the same thing twice. The only thing that stays the same is she gets a banana split at the end of every meal, no matter what.
How about that? Listen, I haven't been to West Virginia in a long time, but here's what I'm going to do. Next time I'm in West Virginia, and I think it'll happen fairly soon, I'm coming to see you.
Okay.
I am coming to see you. Highway 55, Burgers, Shakes, and Fries in Huntington, West Virginia. Anybody traveling, I expect you to go there for at least lunch, maybe lunch and dinner.
And get there a banana split.
We'll take
for
it.
Sure.
Yeah.
And banana splits. It's homemade custard, so you can't get go wrong at all.
Hey, God bless you. You're good. As I said, you're a good person. We need more of you. Thank you, Aaron.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
All right. That's the most valuable person on the planet for today. Well, it's a nice story.
Custard. Custard is like, underrated.
Do you think about eating it, or do you actually eat it?
I think about eating it occasionally.
Yeah,
I make plans to go to Culver's, but you can't go all the time. So,
quirky.
But I like to think about going.
Well, hold on. Let me turn your microphone on so you can actually talk. There you go.
My mother's from West Virginia.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I don't think she's ever eaten there, though.
Your mother's from West Virginia?
She is.
If you gave me 50 choices of where your mom would be from, that wouldn't have made a list.
Her father owned the furniture store on the hill in Weirton, West Virginia.
Over by there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then.
It's actually sort of, it's almost like a suburb of Pittsburgh because it's that close to the Pennsylvania border. But yeah.
All right. So the name of your company is
AL Media.
And you help craft commercials for candidates as part of your day.
Candidates. We do strategy. We drop off eggplants every once in a while.
That'll happen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. When we come back after the headlines, I want you to talk a little bit about that commercial business, because what we know is that sling and mud and negative advertising works, so it's hard to get away from it. Have we crossed the breach? Have we gone to a new level? And should you be arrested immediately? Stand by. Eric Adelstein talking about his business in a moment, as well as Pat Brady will join us from the road. We've got a lot of politics to get to. And Chuck Todd on the road this morning. He'll join us again next week as scheduled. Headlines next, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
All right, Eric Adelstein's here. So let's talk a little bit about these TV commercials. All over the country, there's a lot of anti-immigrant ads running. And essentially, the deal is if you want to run on a tough on immigration policy, you basically claim anyone who's not white is an MS-13 gang member and they're here to kill you. They're running all over the country, every possible place. On the other side, there's a guy named Levi Tilleman, a candidate for Congress in Colorado in the 6th. He wanted to point out there are non-lethal ways to stop guns and shootings in schools. And he said pepper spray was one of them. And he pepper sprayed himself in the face in the commercial. And then maybe the worst of all, at least so far, it probably can be topped, is, and I can't tell you specifically who this candidate is because I don't have the note in front of me, but a candidate runs a commercial that says his opponent would have stopped the pre-existing condition coverage that could save his son who had cancer. I thought families were off limits. At what point does somebody step in and go, we can't run that because look at what happened to Heidi Heitkamp in North Dakota.
Well, I do think there's a tipping point. And, you know, for us, our attitude is that people I don't buy into the, you know, people are stupid. They'll believe anything. You can put anything on the air and they'll believe. I don't think that at all. I think people are very sophisticated, actually, about what they see on television, what they see in video. We're all sort of connoisseurs of that medium now. We know what's authentic and what's not. And I think authenticity is what's important.
Right.
And so you try to get to that. Now, the spectacle of people saying outrageous things and trying to scare people, I'm not saying that doesn't work. It does to a point. It more often plays to the base. But I think voters are discerning, and they've seen generations now of these ads that they can kind of look through them.
I mean, have you had a situation with a candidate where you said, we're not doing that?
Yeah, and I mean, to be candid, it's typically a political calculus more than a what's right or wrong.
Because it's bad for you.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
It's not going to work, and it's going to backfire.
Now we're seeing, and there's been a lot in this campaign with political ads in front of your websites or in front of your social media. Do you have to be smart about what we see there versus what we see on TV? Because a lot of times we're just seeing, like, J.B. Pritzker ads that just look like 30-second spots that you would see after the 10 o'clock news
right.
in front of this article I want to read. Do you have right. to be smart and think differently about what's online?
It's all changing, Justin. I mean, the used to be you could just put ads on broadcast television and you'd run one message to everyone. Now you have all these niche audiences. You have all these different ways of getting to folks. You can run different messages to different people. You got to be a little bit careful because it's also available that if you say, well, they're running this to this particular audience and that to another, like you couldn't, like, for example, oh, to pro-choice women, they're saying he's pro-choice, and to pro-life people. So you got to be a little bit careful. But there are niche messages. There are all kinds of different ways of doing that.
Can a candidate win today by being good at what they do, touting what they want to do, and not playing negative?
Well, we'll see. I mean, it's your definition of negative, and I don't mean to sound like Bill Clinton parsing words, but I've had candidates where they say, I am never going to run a negative ad. You say, great, here's what the Chicago Tribune just said about your opponent. Can we put that on television? Because it's just what they said. Oh, well, that's not negative. That somebody else said it. So, yes, I think the screaming headlines and the
scary negative to
music,
me may not be negative to you, and that's why we hire folks like you to help us figure it out.
I mean, look, Verizon and AT&T are on the air saying their product's better than the other one, and the car companies are doing it. I think it's a matter of calibration and degree. Are you saying this person's un-American and treasonous and the worst person in
and
history?
A gang member,
or are you saying, look, we have legitimate disagreements.
Yeah.
We both think this country's great, but we have a different vision of how to get there.
Do you have an internal monitor on when we have to dial it back just by way of volume of commercials that run? Or when you get this close, you just go, we got the money, spend the money.
The problem in our business has become the standard. It isn't sort of, well, how much do I need to win? It's, oh, you just need more.
Can you make people sick enough not to vote for your candidate?
That's a great question. You know, we've certainly experienced it where people have fatigue on those messages, but more often than not, that doesn't keep them from voting for them.
You know, I don't even know if you can answer this, but candidly, when we talk, we see what's happening with J.B. Pritzker, where you have day after day after day different things coming out, and the cynics in us say, well, that was organized, orchestrated by right. opponent's campaign. As somebody who's been in politics, is that something that gets orchestrated? Is it possible that Dianne Feinstein orchestrated the leak on Blasey Ford? Is it possible that lawsuits were orchestrated by Rauner campaign? Is that something that actually plays in political campaigns?
I'm not a big conspiracy theorist, only because I think human beings are incapable of keeping secrets.
Mm-hmm.
So the notion that there's some nefarious actors doing these kinds of things, I mean, look, you look at the Pritzker situation, I think, you know, certainly my first instinct was, did the Rauner campaign infiltrate and get a bunch of people hired? But then it's sort of cynical, and you're like, well, maybe people have some legitimate gripes and whatnot. And, you know, as much as I think that this does kind of smell funny, people obviously should have their gripes heard. But I think it typically is usually the more logical answer. Logical answer such as, most money ever spent in an American political campaign, people working their butts off for very little money, because that's what a campaign is, and certain resentment gets created, and that may have been triggered other things. So the long answer is, I don't think there are these grand conspiracies.
You're not holding on to a scandal.
Counterintelligence things. No.
Yeah, that's what I think the American people want to know. Do political campaigns say, I've got this juicy tidbit, let's wait until October 28th to drop it?
I think that's more of a Hollywood fiction.
You don't have an October surprise you're about to drop? Let's announce it right here.
Well, I was going to save it for next week.
Okay. All right. Because it's still October next
but,
week.
Well, it's an eggplant thing, and you guys kind of covered that, so I don't want to.
What?
I'll cover it next week.
Pat Brady will join us from the road in just a second.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Take all your promises and break.
Pat Brady joins us from the road, either in Arizona, on your way to Arizona. Where are you?
I'm in Arizona.
And do that thing where I ask you what the weather is, but I'd just be bitter and disillusioned.
It's 84 and sunny.
Shut up. All right, let me ask you the same question I asked Rick Pearson, and Eric, jump in on this as well. Are the far right and the far left going to determine this thing, or is there enough folks in the middle that are going to come out to make it interesting in every race in Illinois?
I agree with what Eric and Pearson said. It depends on who shows up on the at least in Illinois. Are the conservatives going to show up and vote and enough to get around or over the top? And that's a big question.
What about the AG's race?
Well, Eric's about. Oops, sorry.
No, go ahead.
It's a great race. Two great candidates. Eric's candidate, Kwame Raoul, Senator Raoul, and then Erica Harold. I got to give Eric credit, which I don't like doing, but he's run some pretty good ads.
I think that to the, thanks,
I'm just kidding,
Pat. Thanks, Pat. I think to the question of is it just about the bases coming out, that's a part of it. I still believe we're a pendulum country. There is this middle that swings that doesn't necessarily identify with a party.
But I think you guys believe, and I'm not questioning it, I'm just saying I'm in a different place on this. You guys believe the right and the left will decide this because of turnout. I think people are pissed off enough that you're going to have a really large chunk of the middle that are going to show up, and there's a lot of these races we don't know the answer to.
Look, it's really interesting. The polling has been all over the place around the country and in Illinois, volatile every week. If you talk to a pollster, they'll say, I don't know what's going on. It's really hard to figure out who's coming out, because one week they'll have a candidate up 10, then they'll be down 4, and then it'll be tied. What that says is, to your point, Steve, there's volatility,
right?
And as we've talked about repeatedly on this show, any poll is only as good as how you predict what the number of people who are going to vote is. When you don't really know, you get a big surprise on election day.
And there have been a lot of polls way off in some of these races in the last couple of months. People 15 points down winning by 10,
right? So Pat and I have always said this. It's funny thing happens when the voters get involved.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, that's why it's still great drama. It just has real world implications.
There are a number of reasons to believe the Dems are going to grab the House. It doesn't appear they have a chance at the Senate, where a couple of weeks ago, maybe.
Yeah.
Am I wrong about that?
No, I mean, the Senate map is always really tough. The number of defenses, in other words, Democratic senators that had to win their seats versus Republicans, was slanted greatly against the Democrats. Then you add in the fact that they're in red states, and it becomes a big challenge. We'll see how it ends up coming out. There's still some big question marks. Nevada, Missouri, Arizona, Florida,
Tennessee.
So, you know, again, I think there'll be some surprises. I think that the odds are better that they win the House. But, you know, again, the odds were, what did they say, 90% going in election day that Hillary Clinton would be the next president. So,
yeah, those polls worked out well.
So I think, you know, the notion of the prognosticators and the forecasters being king is over.
Well, is it possible, just for both of you guys, this, when you talk about redistricting or maps, that the conclusions are they're foregone conclusions, meaning you know that you're going to win in a Republican district, you know you're going to win in a Democrat district, and that's sort of how politics is today, in the sense that they can gerrymander victories as opposed to, you know, getting people motivated to
vote. Pat, that's not guaranteed, right? Because that's still is turnout dependent. Even a
gerrymander. Yeah, and in the Senate, you can't gerrymander a Senate seat. It's a statewide thing. But hey, Eric, just take a step back. I've been watching all the McSally. The Arizona Senate. Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
These things are.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's very crazy.
Pat, do you see any way the Republicans lose the Senate?
No.
No chance.
Not with Heidekamp.
The Heitkamp story, the Heitkamp story is just an implosion. She had a campaign worker, apparently, who put a bunch of names of sexual assault victims, allegedly all approved of having their names involved in a full-page newspaper ad, and as many as a third of them not only didn't approve to have their names used, they had never talked about their sexual assault. And she's the Democrat. I mean, I don't know how that mistake gets made.
Yeah. Right. And that's your example of...
Yeah, Heidekamp, you know, I think the Missouri, there's some other races, Tennessee, that were in the undecided camp that are starting to break our way.
But that is the example of an overreach on an ad, that you can't just do or say anything in an ad. I'll give you another example. You know we're doing this Georgia governor's race, Stacey Abrams against Brian Kemp. Kemp won the primary because he did these outrageous ads where he's blowing stuff up and he's pointing a gun at his son-in-law as a sort of joke. And in the general election, we're running those ads. We're like, who points a gun at a kid in their TV ad? And voters are like, yeah, that's not funny.
Right.
It's not funny. And blowing stuff up and saying you're going to drive your pickup truck around and round up illegals and drive them to the border in Georgia, and, you know, those middle-of-the-road voters are like, that's offensive. So I do think there's a limit to these ads, and there is the backlash that you see in the Heitkamp situation and the Kemp situation and others.
There is no question you can make a difference, and there's no question your vote matters. But it's not just you. You got to round up your friends. It's November 6th. It's 2.5 weeks away. Where are you going to be on election night?
Fetal position is usually where I am.
Well, you got about 6-7 big races around
usually,
the country.
No, we do it at our headquarters. We gather our staff. We take returns, and we sit at worldwide headquarters in Chicago.
And Pat, you'll be at Channel 9?
Channel 9, 4 hours. Yep.
All right, buddy. Safe trip for you. Thanks for jumping on. And Eric, nice to see you as always. What's the name of that company again?
AL Media.
And you believe all of your opponents are evil and should die? Is that the commercials you guys are running?
Those are not our commercials. Those are somebody else's.
By the way, before you run the Georgia race, is that where the opponent is in charge of counting the vote?
Correct.
That's crazy.
In charge of counting the vote and is trying to disenfranchise as many Democratic voters as possible. It's a smart electoral strategy. Why wouldn't you do the same?
And there's no way to stop it.
There's some federal lawsuits going on. There's been a lot of scrutiny. He had to back down. There were some rural counties where he closed a bunch of polling places. The outcry was so great, he had to reverse course. So, again, sunshine is a great antidote to this stuff.
Yeah.
He is Secretary of State.
He's running. So
in North Dakota, the Heitkamp thing, this is another thing. And I give Rachel Maddow credit for this because I didn't see the story, but I saw the story about the story that they changed their voting laws. You apparently don't have to register to vote in North Dakota. You have to show up with an ID. The ID now has to have a road name or a street name on it when 90% of rural America is a post office box or rural route whatever in the number. And the majority of the Native American population living on reservation doesn't have a street name necessarily tied to it. The whole thing is to keep the American Indian vote down.
I mean, these are poll taxes. These are literacy tests. These are the same tactics they used after the Civil War to keep enfranchised new voters from voting. There's no question about it. You have to show up. Yeah.
And you have to have a street address.
And the one thing I will say, it also isn't just to discourage people when they're at the polls. It's to keep people home. It's to scare them and say, you're going to be in violation of the
law if you don't do this.
It's outrageous.
And that's what they're doing.
They're doing it in Georgia. They're doing it all across the country. And this is what they
What a nasty business you're in.
I wish everyone could come to my polling place. This sounds a blast. I'd love it.
Eric Edelstein, thank you.
Thanks.
Pat Brady as well. Coming up, Stories That Matter with Steve Guzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio next.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
All right, our friend Lauren Zima standing by. Lauren, next time I'm in L.A., you got to let me, I don't know, buy you dinner, buy you a car, buy you something. You're always so nice to us.
Oh, Steve, what an offer. What an intro on a Thursday. I'll take a car. I mean, you know, we got to sit in this traffic over here.
That's funny. Did you hear? I offered dinner or a car.
She took
some dinner and conversation with me and in a delightful hour or two. She went right for the car, like I'm Bob Barker.
Are you serious?
You know what, Steve? I'll drive you around and we'll talk for hours.
I love that you somehow took that personal, like a conversation and dinner with me or a car.
Yeah, you know
I
what?
Would take the car, Steve.
I'd take the car.
Yeah,
and I'm the one that threw the offer.
There'd be something wrong with Lauren if she had said dinner.
Lauren, top story in show business today.
Oh, top story today has been the top story all week long. The Royals are in Australia. Oh, Meghan and Harry are giving us so much love and good vibes amidst this crazy world that we live in. Of course, Meghan Markle is really cute.
They really are so cute.
And Steve, for you to say that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't use that word a whole lot. You know, I'm going to go
do
one step further. They're adorbs.
They
give him the feels. They do, Lauren. And you know that white dress she wore was an Australian designer. She wore it down in Australia, and then it broke the internet. Like, you couldn't get on their website to buy that dress because everybody tried to buy it.
It is like she wears one thing and it sells out. She also wore, you know, her good friend is Serena Williams.
I know,
and she has
Serena
a clothing
blazer.
Line.
Yep.
She wore that blazer. The blazer sold out, an $145 blazer. Actually, you know, not too insane considering how much money they spend on some stuff. Did you like the blazer?
I did like the blazer. And then Serena posted a picture. She's like, when a princess is wearing your blazer, and then, you know, Serena in her own blazer, it's pretty cool.
Well, but let's be honest. Harry looked fine in his suit, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. He can't look bad. But, you know, she's pregnant now, and I feel like she is kind of, obviously she's gone through so much with her family, and they keep doing what they're doing, but she's just sinking into being married, and they both look so happy, and they're just giving us so many moments. I don't know if you guys saw Harry and Meghan hugging that little boy. Hello. Yeah. Then Harry meets the 98-year-old war veteran's yeah. wife, who he is friends with, introduces her to Meghan. So many moments. Meghan holding the umbrella for him. They were literally there to speak. They were at this one area of Australia to speak about how there'd been a drought, and Harry goes to make the speech, and it starts raining for the first time in years. So they're so magical that they change the nature of the world.
And here's the difference in couples. It started to rain. Meghan wanted to make sure that Harry was under the umbrella.
She held the umbrella.
As opposed to Donald Trump with the umbrella, leaving Melania in the rain.
Yeah.
Steve... And that's a sign.
It is, right? The umbrella test is a test of how strong you are as a couple.
Even when they announced his pregnancy and Harry said, I've wanted to be a father for a really long time, and I spent a lot of time looking for the right partner to do this with. It's like he is.
You know what makes me sad about
dreamy.
This? Because there's nothing sad about this. But you know what makes me sad about this? How cool would it be to see Diana as a grandmother for Will's kids and also for the new baby on the way?
Oh, 100%. And, you know, Meghan wore, her and Kate do little nods to Diana's style, and people love when they pay, you know, homage to Diana. But she wore her actual earrings, these butterfly earrings that Diana herself wore. She wore them during the Australia trip, and a bracelet of hers to pay a little nod. So they're always finding ways. I love that. I think the boys always find ways to keep her around and present, and it's really beautiful.
On the other side of love, Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson, how's he doing?
Oh, wow, Steve. Oh, wow. Yeah, darkness, huh? Pete has been spotted out and about. You can see the very first photo of him since the breakup up at etonline.com, our website. And he's looking what I would call somber. He's wearing a hoodie, which is pretty typical for him. But what a source has told us is that he is, quote, heartbroken over this. She was the one to end the relationship. She went out and about for the first time performing at that tribute to Wicked. It's the musical's 15th anniversary, and she taped a special for that, but leaked cell phone footage got out of it. So she just said she couldn't, no matter what she's going through, she couldn't miss this tribute to her all-time favorite musical and to meet her idols like Idina Menzel, posted a photo with her backstage. But now what people are just noticing is that if you really zoom in on some of this cell phone footage, Ariana had gotten a tattoo of Pete's name on her ring finger, and for the performance, she covered it up with a Band-Aid.
Ouch.
Very
Ouch.
Harsh. Yeah.
Ouch. Yeah, you
but
know.
Did we think this was going to last,
right.
guys?
Right. No. No, no, of course,
no.
Of course not.
Honestly, I have to say I was afraid because I think she's beautiful and a talented young woman. And he's a funny guy and he's got a lot going on for him. I was afraid they'd both gotten out of these super serious relationships, gotten together so quickly, gotten engaged so quickly. And I thought, oh, God, they're going to have this super quickie wedding and then they're going to have to go through a divorce. I mean, I have to say, I don't know. It's maybe for the best. You know?
Well, she made the mature choice. You know,
yeah.
She did. She made the right choice. Let's go back to love for a second. Gaga, the greatest voice of all time, until I decided someone else. Gaga's engaged?
She has confirmed her engagement at a speech at an event here in Hollywood this week. And we had known she was dating this guy. He's in the industry, but a more behind-the-scenes guy. We'd known they were dating for a while. He was backstage supporting her at her Super Bowl show when she did that in 2017. So they've been together, and then she's been wearing this big over-the-top pink diamond ring. But, you know, unlike how her and Taylor Kinney, when they were together, you know that guy. He's in Chicago filming Chicago
sure.
Fire.
Yep. You see him all the time.
Yeah, they hit the red carpets a bunch, but she, you know, what we're hearing is that she loves kind of how low-key this relationship has been and that she likes not being in the limelight so much because he's a behind-the-scenes guy. So, yeah, I'm obsessed with that soundtrack, you guys. I can't stop listening to it. Are you just blasting it in your car that you're going to give to me, Steve?
I sing at the top of my lungs in the car. So
did you hear that?
Yeah, no, I heard it. I pull up to a red light. If you see me at a red light and I'm singing at the top of my lungs and crying, it's the Star is Born soundtrack for sure. Yeah.
Can I tell you, we have this crew guy, right? And he's like kind of, you know, like a, he's been in the business for forever. He's, you know, one of those tech, like behind the scenes guys. He's a tough guy. And he told me that he went to go see the movie, that he cried multiple times in the movie. And then he went into the men's room to go to the bathroom and that it was silent, but there were like a lot of guys who'd been in the movie. It was silent in there, but they were all in there. And he just said out loud, "Guys, it's okay for us to cry."
Now, that's funny. All right, I don't want to end on a down note, but The Conners is back, or premiered, not back. And they killed Roseanne off pretty distinctly. It almost felt like a Charlie Sheen thing. Was that payback, or was that just to make sure that she's not going to come back?
Oh, they sure did, right? I mean, a casual opioid overdose. Wow. I will say, I think there are multiple ways to look at this, you know, because Roseanne, obviously a controversial woman, and she did some stuff, and she, you know, got herself, and she has said she regrets it. She got herself off of her own show. And I read this op. I mean, what a lot of people are saying is, look, on the one hand, first of all, you better sensitively handle an opioid overdose. Then some people say, look, this show has always been about tackling the tough issues, doing it with a bit of comedy, and like getting people talking about things. Some people say, did you have to send her off that way even after everything? The piece that has kind of stuck with me, I read this op-ed by the showrunner. He wrote it in The Hollywood Reporter, and he said, look, people might have issues with the way that we killed off her character, but I worked with Roseanne for years. I value what she did for us. We had an up and down relationship. She even fired me once during the original show, but I still respect her. And let me tell you this, we didn't want that character to go quietly. They said they wanted it to be controversial. They wanted it to be like that because they felt like it was right both for her and the show. He said they gave it a lot of thought and it felt like the right way to do it for them.
John Goodman's getting too skinny though. He needs a sandwich.
Do you think? Well, you know.
Maybe in your new car we can go to a drive through or a Whataburger and pick something up for him.
I will say, if you saw Roseanne's tweet, I mean, like how you said, did they really want to for sure kill her off? She tweeted, "I ain't dead," and then a word that rhymes with witches.
Yes, she did.
Yes, she did.
Not going quietly there either. Lauren Zeman, we love you. You know that. And I'll see you at the dealership, and you can pick out the right color.
Oh, Steve, I can't wait. Let's get a big one so everybody can pile right in. Let's get a six-seater.
Okay. I mean, some people we got to be careful with. That's the great Lauren Zima from Entertainment Tonight, all over social media as well, and hi to her mom. It's 8:25. We debut, finally.
Actually, I think we're going to push that to 9:40.
Oh, we are?
We are, because we have
next hour.
Coach Q at 8:40. So.
We debut next hour the fantasy football picks you've all been waiting for. Stand by for that. That's next hour. Should we do one of those things where we all buy Mega Millions tickets together and then I win and then we all fight?
I don't think there'd be any.
And it breaks the show up.
I don't want to stand in line at the 7-Eleven.
We're doing a story in news today about how you should not. You make sure you have some sort of contract among your fellow workers.
Yeah.
Even if it's something written on a piece of paper.
All right, here's what we need to do, and we don't have time to do it now. Maybe we can do it 20 minutes or so, but we need to get a lawyer on to tell us what we should write in the contract that we're going to sign. Stephanie, you're the boss here. Is that legal? I don't even know if that's legal.
Yes. You know what? I trust you guys. So if we did some sort of verbal agreement on air.
Oh, no, it's got to be written up.
I don't
trust Dave and Justin.
I mean, I don't know if workplaces condone gambling. Isn't this gambling?
Is it gambling? I don't know.
Lottery is not. No,
yeah, the lottery is not. And it's state sanctioned.
Sanctioned by the state.
How could they possibly
a lot of things in our state
it?
That yeah, I was say.
But you guys are expecting
enough.
I'm going to buy the tickets, right?
I'll buy it right here.
No.
I have the app. I'll buy it right here.
I think we should.
Well, first step to a cure is admitting you have a problem, Mr. App.
I have that app, too. But how do we know? Dave might claim, this is the ticket I bought for myself. myself, not the ticket.
Isn't that part of your contract? I'm clearly the most numbers.
Dave is the most honest.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm the most dishonest person on the show.
I think we should have Price Waterhouse come in and buy the ticket.
What about Cooper? What's your problem with Cooper?
Better yet, we should get Peter Francis Geraci. He should be the guy.
Oh, that is a good call.
We could get him to be our Price Waterhouse.
The place downstairs here.
Yeah, we love that guy.
303.
We love that guy.
They had sold a $500,000 winning ticket. It says so right in the window.
What? I think it's a scratch-off ticket. Yeah.
You know, the folks downstairs, they're great family.
This is how families are torn apart, guys. Let's not do this.
Yeah.
Money always tears families
even,
apart.
But it's good
material.
My husband and I bought one, and I thought about getting a contract for that.
I mean, it could crash and burn the show, but it's a good bit.
Yeah. Hey,
I mean, let's be honest.
Let's get Coach Q to do it.
Huh? There you go. That's it. Texter says the value in anything is simply determined by who owns it. Well, that's very deep. Frankly, too deep for me. If you're an attorney, we may need you in about 20 minutes. In the meantime, Coach Q coming up. And we're back with the headlines right after this.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, Coach Q, sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. And it's been a fascinating beginning to the season. And, Coach, welcome to the show.
Good to be here this morning.
Can I tell you one thing? You don't consider you a friend. You're killing me with overtime.
I know. It's unbelievable. Every game's kind of been different, but I like our starts to the game, and we had some last game was pretty remarkable again, having to come back in the third period. We were playing very well at 2-0, and then all of a sudden we're down 3-2 late in the game, and Cat makes a tremendous shot on a nice play by Dunks and then Johnny, and then a great pass by Gus over to Cat to finish it off in overtime. But it's been five games in a row, pretty unbelievable in that. But we want to get in games like that. We want to make sure we get points in that situation, get it to overtime, and we'll see. But we like our beginning to the season, and most games we've been pretty good throughout.
Yeah, it could very easily be 5-0. Let's talk about the big news. Crow's back in net tonight.
Yeah, we're excited. I know that it's been a long time in coming, and he's really been feeling good in the net, and the way he played last year for us, if he can get back to that level, because he's been he's had a great career to date for us, a little bit under the radar, but we know how good he's been for us and how important that position is, and we're going to need him, and we're going to need him at his best as well. So we're excited. He's excited as well. So it'll be a big step here forward, and looking forward to him.
When you're coming, Coach, when you're coming back from a break that long, how long if you're struggling in your first game or whatever, how long do you leave him in? How much do you give him a longer rope than a regular goalie?
That's a good question.
Well, we're looking at very good question. We're looking at this stretch of games here. We got a real busy stretch here now, and in the past, Crow would be getting on a scale of about 3/4 of the games, and then back to backs, we'd give him breaks. This stretch here right now, we'll see how he's handling it. And tonight's game, we'll see how he's handling in game. But we expect him to, he's going to start. We expect him to play the whole game. I think he'll be telling us how he's feeling. But we expect him, in his conditioning wise, I think he should be able to handle the workload. And let's be clean and neat as best we can in front of him and help him in that regard. But but we expect him to play this game, and then going forward, looking at that schedule. The back-to-backs for sure, but we play seven games like in 11 days, so it's can't get any busier than that.
What kind of a lift does it give the other guys? Just because they're used to playing with Corey going back all these years.
Yeah, it really is. It's been exciting when he first got in our practices again. I think you saw the emotions of fun and the guys working with him, helping him along the process and after practice, and him getting more shots and then working with traffic and bodies I think when we missed him last year, you could really sense a void not the locker room, but just in the team, and knowing that he bailed us out. He put us in a position last year at that time to be in the playoff race, and what he's done in the past, we know that the games get more important as they go deeper in games, and Crow just rises that occasion. He seems to be at his best as the game's on the line. So it's not too many goalies in our league that have that big of an influence on their team, and his importance was definitely noticed and appreciated. And now that he's back, I think the guys, they're excited about playing in front of him again and knowing that Crow's as good as there is in the game.
Coach, there was a lot made about the overtime, obviously the streak, and the media seemed to go all into, oh, this is so hard on the players and the stamina, and no, they can't keep that up. And then we talked to Brian Campbell yesterday, and he said, as a player, it doesn't really matter the way that overtime is now. It's not really something that really gasses you as a player. So where, as a coach, where do you stand? Do you feel like these overtime games are taxing on the team, or is this just hockey in 2018?
I think it's more hockey today, and when you look at not too many guys on our team get out there in overtime, and I think it's the same guys that are getting extra shifts. And you know, you look at the first three overtimes, I don't think it lasted more than 4 minutes of total ice time. So right. It's not a lot of that's one or two shifts per guys that are involved. So that's nothing at all. And last game got a little deeper, I think guys want to be out there, and especially with the game being on the line and the way the overtime's played, it's almost like a keep away type of situation where guys are patient and don't want to give up the puck, and it's a different pace till all of a sudden you're exchanging two on ones back and forth where it gets a little hectic. But it's the same guys that they're going to be out there in your power plays. Those extra minutes are big minutes, and I think those are the minutes that those guys appreciate, and they want to be out there, and whether they're going from 18 to 20 minutes, I don't think that that's a big difference.
The Hammer, back in the house. Jalmerson, part of that great three Stanley Cup run, and a guy that, it's hard to argue, has been one of the great defensemen in the league for years. It'll be good to see him back, and we hope he doesn't score or come close.
Well, Hammer's he's not known for much of that offensively, and he's one of those guys that you rely on him defensively. Block shots, warrior type of defenseman, yeah. That positionally aware, good stick, can frustrate the opponents, and we'll try to make him play in his own end as much as we can and see how he handles it.
Now, last word, Coach Q, there's a tradition after a win where you give the goalie a little headbutt. Can we change that to a hearty handshake, considering the circumstances?
Well, let's hope we're doing that at the end of the game.
Yeah, figure I suppose that's true. That's right. Coach, thanks. Have fun tonight.
All right, thanks, guys.
See you later. It's Coach Q from your Chicago Blackhawks, sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. He sounds like he's in a great mood.
I'll tell you what, this is a challenging stretch coming up for them.
How many games was it, David?
7-11.
That's a lot of games.
Yeah, but it's also who they're playing. I mean, they got Tampa Bay here this way after a trip to Columbus. They come back, play Tampa Bay. They got the Rangers in this stretch. They got another game with St. Louis. They've already played them twice.
Well, how about this? How about Arizona's only scored 4 goals all year? This is the perfect way for him to come back.
I think so. And you also get Edmonton, which has only scored, I think, 10 goals on this stretch. So. Yeah, I mean,
also that Blackhawk factor where people play up when they come play them.
Yeah, no question.
Now, if there's overtime tonight, I'll watch it. Of course I'll watch it.
Of course you'll watch it.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
All right, so we need a lawyer, 312-981-7200. If you have a law license, I have a piece of scrap paper. I just need to know what to write in this contract for the Powerball or for the Mega Millions tickets. We're going to buy as a group. Now, how much does everybody want to go in? Like $5 a person?
Yeah. And I'm only going in if it's a famous lawyer. Like, I just can't just be someone off the street.
I think Karen Conti's in court this morning.
Right. And we could have.
What about Mike Monaco?
We could have asked our friends at GWC Law Firm. I'm not sure if they specialize in lotto tickets.
Who's the guy? Who's the guy who Pete knows who does the commercial with Javi Baez?
That's Anken.
Howard Aiken.
Howard Aiken. Yeah.
Yeah. Where's Aiken?
So, if you have a law degree, we just need some help on the wording here. And are we in? $5 a piece?
I want to do that.
They're dollar tickets, aren't they?
I want you. No, it's $2. I want you.
They're $2.50 tickets.
I want you to do that thing where you buy all of the stuff, and then if we don't win, no one has to reimburse you.
Well, that's a good one.
Wow, that's a good system.
That's usually how it works with Steve when he spots us the money.
$868 million is projected as of today. They feel it'll be over $1 billion by... It's a Friday night draw, right? Tomorrow night? I think that's right.
Let me look. I'm going to look on my... I have that app, too.
868 million is a lot of money, but a billion is even better. That's all I'm saying.
That's true.
So then, wait, though. If you buy the tickets and we win, are you going to try to be controlling us? Like, I'll give you your portion as long as you still come to work? Or
heck,
you
know, I'm quitting.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't listen, if you win $1 billion, I don't want you around here because you wouldn't want to be around here.
It might be more fun if I didn't have to be here.
But you apparently are missing the idea of the pool. The pool is you share your winnings.
Oh.
That's the idea of the pool. That's why you have to have a contract.
It is tomorrow.
200 million tickets were sold for a recent...
Wait, for the Powerball?
Mm-hmm. No, Mega Millions.
Oh, we're
talking
Mega
Millions.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
10 p.m.
200 million tickets were sold for the recent $390 million jackpot. So 400 million, that means we're going to have somewhere between 400 million and 500 million tickets sold by tomorrow night.
Wow.
Now, do you take care of the full tax burden, or do we all have to do that as well?
Oh, you pay taxes out of our winnings.
I know, sure. But are you going to take care of the full tax burden?
Yeah, this is where we need
to. Wait, hold on a second.
This is...
I'm paying the taxes on your shares of the win?
That would be so kind as our boss.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. The numbers go from 1 to 79 in Mega Millions, and random number generators are called RNGs in the business. Random number generators are sophisticated computer algorithms that randomly select numbers. The numbers are chosen from a pool. As I said, any system that randomly selects numbers is mathematically proven to be just as good as your system.
Hmm.
So okay. You can spend all day filling out the little form, but it's not going to help you.
Hmm.
They also said if you know the old thing, what if I bought every combination? If I bought every ticket and every combination? Somebody else did the math on this. They said it would take about 30 years of filling out the paperwork to buy every combination of every number to complete all cards in the lottery.
Lou Cairo from GWC Law Firm is going to be calling in here with our answers. So.
Okay. All right, good.
Oh, there you go.
He's on standby. Yeah.
You know, Lou's got a few more important things to do, but I appreciate him doing that.
I could have gone to their website because they have the online chat feature. I could have chatted with Lou just now to ask him the question, but
it's a good point.
For the radio, it's better to have
him on
the phone.
Them on retainer. That's good to know. Okay.
To say
he's
answering the website chats.
So Lou Cairo just sitting there waiting.
It has his picture on it.
All right, so they're $2 tickets. Everybody want one $2 ticket, or are we going for more than that?
I think to make it easy, you just say one $2 ticket.
Oh, I'm sorry. And you can pay an extra dollar for a megaplier. What's a megaplier?
It multiplies your winnings, I believe.
Oh. Well, why don't you megaply us?
Yeah, maybe we should megaply.
So it's $3 a ticket? Is that what the deal is then? I'm just trying to figure out what the math is.
Can I get a larger fry? Can you get me fries? Like a
I'm
larger
going home.
it sounded good when you said it, but now it sounds confusing.
All right, so I'll make this sound legal. We, the winners of the Steve Cochran Show.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have so far.
Sorry,
yeah, that's all I have so far.
Let me sign it so the King of England can see my name.
Dave's got some information.
Well, no, I have a very important point here. Are we going to take the annuity option or the cash option, the one-time lump sum?
Oh, you take the cash. Absolutely take the cash.
But then if you take the annuity, money, right? Every payment's 5% bigger than the last one.
Yeah, but that's how they get you.
One of us could
you want
die,
the cash
though,
now.
Right?
Yeah, but that would be a nice surprise, right? Every 2-3 weeks, you get another check, and it's a little bit more money. It'd be a nice surprise. Yeah.
All right, who's in? Who's in for $3?
I'm in.
I'll go.
I want it in one lump.
For Joe,
chunk.
Super Joe, you in for $3? Super
Joe's in?
I'll cover Joe.
Oh,
okay.
Wow. That's
Pete,
nice.
You in? Pete's in? That's $18. I'll throw in an extra $2 for $20.
Are you doing the right math on this?
Six people, $3 tickets.
So if you're throwing in an extra $2, then you get more of a stake than the rest of us.
No.
Well, because you're megaply. Technically, they're $2 only if we megaply, they become $3. But I don't know what is the number on the megaplying. Like, do we know what the... How does it boost our winnings?
Doesn't matter.
It's just
a dollar.
Let's see. Your prize, if the megaplier number is, well, it's got all these different, I can't figure this out.
Too many options. It's so confusing.
Well, here's my question. Let's say one of us wins on our own ticket separately from the group.
Whoa.
Is there going?
Well, we're going to take the group tickets.
You can't go out and do individual
stuff. Well, I already have tickets. I like Dave.
The group tickets?
And my husband.
We will record all of the numbers, therefore designating them as
group
tickets.
We can photocopy.
Okay. Yeah. Isn't it great how nobody on this show trusts anybody?
No.
Well, that's what they do in the newsroom. They always photocopy, I think.
Now, you tend to be friends with all the hanger-oners of people that were on your show in the past, so you're not going to. We're not going to have like ex-producers coming in and saying, hey, where's my slice of the
pie? That's a good call.
Because you can't say no to people, so that's a major issue we're going to have to address in the legal terms there, too.
No, it's just the current show.
Yeah. Can I go all the way back to Grunwald from the 90s?
Everyone that walks by, you're like, oh, that was a producer on my show.
Well, what about
get in the team photo. It's like, hey.
What about Spike? Because you know Spike will want in on this.
Spike doesn't have that kind of time, does he? All right, so I'll just say, look, 10 tickets. We're going to buy 10 tickets as a group.
Can I quick pay you my
$3? $30.
And I'll get it to you later.
You guys just give me $3 a piece when you get it.
Okay. I actually have a
sounds like you make no money at all. I give you $3 a piece, and I'll just take care of the rest. Hey, Pete, will you go down and buy the tickets?
What if bring the eggplant. The tickets.
Yeah, I thought you were going to give them the money.
Yeah, but... All right.
They're just
why don't we just
picks.
Buy them through Ennett's app?
Well, no, because that's where his personal tickets are.
That's where the problem is.
That's for Joe and me, Super Joe and me.
Wait, how much do we
that's
owe?
Trouble, man. That's trouble.
We need $3. Sure. I got my 30
like
in
that.
Cash right
I don't
now.
Like that. No, I don't think you should be. No one should be giving a ticket to. Like,
right, yeah, I mean, I appreciate it.
Because if you do that, because if we win $1 trillion. Then you're going to be like, well, I mean, I threw in for Joe, so I should get more
or
than
I
Joe.
Get oh no, I would never do
I
that.
I would never do that. Now, see, we're back to where we need.
Because Dave, look at Dave loves Joe. Like they got a thing going on over here.
I love Joe. I'm not buying a ticket. Oh, come on, man. All right, so Pete's going to go get us tickets.
Where are we going to keep the tickets?
You're going to keep them.
I'm going to keep them, but we don't even lock our office.
Well, doesn't the station have like a safe or something where we can put these tickets? So I really don't
we should go down to the corporate level and have Larry Wirt handle this.
I'll put it in my freezer.
Okay.
Well,
how about this,
what
guys.
Happens in your freezer.
How about this? I'll try take the tickets. The I'll go in front of the old White Hen from 7-Eleven, whatever it is now, and I will parlay those tickets into more tickets. I'll negotiate out in front, and I will make sure that we have a better opportunity to win. Just trust
Dave,
me on this.
Dave, put me down as not trusting Justin.
Yeah, I got it. I'm
this.
With you on that.
Look at Dave's
then we'll take
face.
The winnings to the casino.
I have a lockable place here at the station.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Okay. Coming up, Stories That Matter with Steve Grzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Lottery Room on WGN Radio.
Fun.
All right, Greg Flames here.
And swap meet.
And it's swap meet time, and it is sponsored by the Mega Millions Lottery. Hi, Greg.
How you doing, Steve? Everyone?
I can't help but notice there's a catcher in your chair.
Yeah.
A lot of good stuff.
Yeah, it kind of made my head tilt like the Nipper RCA dog, because it's a Wheaties poster, and they're known for like Walter Payton, Mary Lou Retton.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to figure out who this guy is in the poster, and it turns out after researching that it's just a model. So they went cheap, I guess. After,
you've got the Michael Jordans and the Mary Lou Rettons and the Walter Paytons, and then they're like, you know what? Just make this guy look like
and
a celebrity.
And he kind of looks like Keith Hernandez a little
bit. Well, you know what he looks like is the catcher from Major League. What was the guy that...
That's so weird.
I know.
Dave, what was the name of the actor that played the catcher in Major League?
Tom Berenger? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But
look, I mean, the brilliance of this
$40 poster,
is it looks like his uniform is all dusted up. Mm-hmm. He's wearing a catcher's uniform, like a catcher's protective chest wear. He's got the 80s mustache.
He's got this smile that looks like he's hitting on a groupie. I mean, it's all there.
He's got the Keith Hernandez look.
Right.
I like how Greg just drops a Nipper RCA dog.
There
like
you go.
We're all familiar with it. Oh, yeah. Just like the Nipper RCA dog.
Well, the phone lines are going to light up.
They are. Speaking of the phone lines, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you got collectibles or memorabilia that you want to brag about or find out how much they're worth, this is a segment to do at the swap meet. You can find Greg at DuPage Picker, both on Facebook and Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Instagram.
This is a big week for Sears. Of course, there's been so much about the bankruptcy, and I would assume that a lot of people have Sears-related things that they would like to share.
Yep, I was the benefactor of that. I had a 1993 Sears wish book that had been on eBay for a few months at like $33. And when the news came out, I raised it about $7, and it sold that day. So $40 for 1993, which really isn't desirable. People want like mid-century modern, so they want 70s, 60s, and a 93 one went for $40, so I was very happy.
Greg is better than us, because if I would have seen that, I would have been like, I raise you $1,000.
Right. See, that's why he's the professional.
right.
Oh, Sears is in the news? $1,000,000.
Right. Well, I do, and you know, that was the same thing when the Loop went under. I all my Loop stuff sold. You know, I had $40 for a bumper sticker. It was like crazy.
He actually had the Loop girl. The original Loop
Lorelei,
girl.
Yeah.
What else do you bring in?
I just a litho tin toy from the 50s made by Marks, which was like the powerhouse of toys forever.
Tractor.
And it's a tractor. It doesn't really work. You're supposed to wind it up and work. But even in that condition, it's probably about $50 to $60.
Bill Left is Bill F is the toy collector on the show. Does he have tractors?
I don't know, but it works. It barely works. Yeah, it's cool.
Well, he probably has
a lot of Mark's toys. Though,
that's how fast the tractors were back then.
Just old fashioned.
Yeah.
That's all.
So yeah.
Right. By the way, for those of you not watching on CLTV, we're watching a tractor crawl across the counter.
Nice.
We want to come back and take some calls.
Let's do it.
Nothing safe about this toy for a kid. Like, if you brought this to Abigail, it's a death trap.
Yeah, it needs some oil. 312-9-1-7-2-100.
You know, like that's how kids learn.
That's how they learn.
Right. That's how they. By the way, you know, there's always something on your mind as the Holy Grail item of the week. Is there anything that jumps to mind this week?
This week, I just look for mid-century modern because it sells so fast. So anything in that era, I'm looking for, whether it's toys, magazines, furniture.
50s, 60s, 70s?
Yeah. It's just very hot right now. It's been hot for a while. So that's kind of what I look for.
Very Mad Men.
Yep.
You're looking for.
Yep.
Fonzie's jacket.
It could be, but
you know, when Don Draper was wearing Fonzie's jacket.
You remember that episode?
You remember that episode.
Right. Judy and Barbara, hold on. You guys, there's room for you, too, at 312-981-7200 when we come back. All right, back with Greg Flom. And, Justin, you got people on the phone?
Yeah, there's a lot of people on the line. Let's get to it.
Line one is Judy. This is a cool item, Judy, and I mean this in a very professional way. Judy from Evergreen Park, what do you have that you want Greg to give you a value on?
I have the first issue of Playboy, the 1953 Marilyn Monroe.
Wow. What kind of shape is it in?
It's in good shape. It's just missing the back cover page.
It's missing the Marilyn Monroe cover. Yeah.
No, it's not.
It still could be worth...
She's on the cover.
Good.
Yeah, it's got to be worth money.
It still could be worth a few thousand, to be honest, because graded in mint condition, they've gone as upwards of $12,000.
Wow. You're kidding.
Really?
Look at you, Judy.
Yeah, we've had calls with Playboys before, and we talked about most people just want the month and year that they were born as like something to put in their man cave or whatever.
You think about all the times that your 15-year-old was hiding these things, and look at the money you could make money off of that.
But with the back cover missing, you still might be in the $1,000 to $2,000, and I would do an auction.
Cool is that?
There you go, Judy. Good job.
All right. You can contact Greg for further advice. He takes 90%. Hold on, Judy. Let's go to Barbara in Hoffman Estates. Hey, Barbara, what are you doing?
What am I doing? I'm talking to you guys.
All right.
Good.
What do you got?
I have possibly a close to 35 to 40 years old Mikasa.
The stoneware, right?
Mikasa. I know this. Yep.
Go for it.
I'm sorry.
Mikasa stoneware?
Fallscraft.
Yeah. Oh, Fallscraft?
About a 12-piece setting, plates, saucers, cups, bowls.
Do any of them have Grimace on them? Is that not a thing?
That's probably not a Fallscraft or a
that's
Mikasa.
That's probably worth something, right?
All right, hold on a second. Let's get your value, Barbara.
I was going to ask her what color they are, just my own personal interest, not because that affects.
Let's say gray.
All right. It's not my forte, but briefly looking, a 12-piece set is like, $200 to $350. Right. I think she said it was about 35 years old, right? So it could be a little bit more than that.
Just being age.
Well, how much would a brand new set cost?
Yeah, I was going to say, what's a new set of...
I'm looking at you. How much is it going to cost?
Well, it depends what you're buying. But the thing about these stoneware things, because I think when she mentioned the Mikasa, there are people that spend a lot of money to keep the sets complete.
Mm-hmm.
And so when those... Though your whole set.
So there could be a missing piece, a broken plate.
If you're missing that piece and you want your full set, that's where that comes into play.
Good call.
There's even a company in Charlotte that replaces the single pieces you need, or you can sell your sets to them as well. I can't remember the name offhand.
I'm going to hook Barbara up with them.
Steve, I'm with you. Not much. Don't know much about the stoneware.
Can't say. Rose and Carol Stream, what do you have, Rose?
Hi. I have the original Cosmo Center... of Burt Reynolds.
Very hairy chest.
Look at you, Rose.
I'm sure that's had a spike, obviously, when he passed, but
I'm thinking it's probably $50 to $60, and probably...
Oh, really?
That's when you know, like the week or so that he passed. It probably has come down a little bit now, maybe to $30, maybe. Uh-huh.
Do you have the actual magazine or just the centerfold?
Yeah, the whole magazine. Nice. Mm-hmm. The Cosmo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got it for the articles.
Right.
So was he on the cover and the centerfold?
I think so.
Yeah, I believe so. I don't remember.
No, I believe so. What does she do? How does she sell this?
If she wants to message me, I can double check the price and let her know that way, and she could sell it. Obviously,
message you what on Facebook?
On Facebook is best because you can. I'm just used to using that, but I'm on Instagram as well. But yeah, just message me and we could say, Facebook or just do page picker at Gmail.
All right, hold on. We got a lot of, softcore porn on the show today. let me go to David. What do you have, David?
Hey, I've got, went to Michael Jordan's first retirement at the United Center, and they gave us a swag bag thing, but it had a Michael Jordan coin in it from Franklin Mint. I was wondering if that's anything.
Ooh. Yeah, I wasn't able to find that, so can you give us any more background on that?
Did they give it out at the stadium?
You got a little swag bag. We were season ticket holders back then, and just the people that came to the game got it. So
I remember that. I got the same bag. I was there that night. Can't tell you where it is.
I'm guessing the way you do things, it's in the back of your Tahoe.
It may be there. It could be there. That's exactly right.
Yeah. I can't even guess, but Jordan stuff obviously does very well anyway, anything. I recently sold a bag from the Chevrolet, that put the brochures in from the Chevrolet dealer, and it went for $23 just for the empty plastic used bag.
Wow. Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
so
they did about 2 weeks ago.
David, good news. There's a lot of sick people out there.
let's face do one more.
Facebook, Greg. Let's see,
do,
one more?
Let's do Mike, yeah.
Mike's in Park Ridge. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, got a original Tony the Tiger doll. I think they're actually if you would win them from a gas station way back in the 50s, as well as a Patty Playpal.
Oh, wow.
Was over 3 feet and amazingly realistic looking, scary actually.
Wow. I'm finding is like almost $400 for the Tony the Tiger doll. Yeah.
For the gas station Tony the Tiger?
Yeah, and obviously this one's in really good condition, so depending what his condition is.
Mike, that's crazy. Mike, cash that in and buy Mega Millions tickets.
Right. Yeah, but where do you sell it? Who's going to buy it?
If you know someone who could sell it online for you, or you obviously
can they
get
send
more
you a
there.
Message, then you can
yeah, and you
give
can send me a message, and I can. You know, I also sell on consignment for people.
Yeah,
as well.
You can do it and walk you through it, and you know, and all that.
Yeah.
That's great. And then the doll.
That I don't have an answer for you, but if you want to message me as well with that, I'll get
there. You go. Thanks, Mike.
And we'll have Homeland Security keep an eye on all of you people.
Right. Think about all the people who had that doll and they just gave it to their dog.
Right.
And now they're listening right now and they're like, oh, that was a $400 chew toy.
Yep.
The Tiger thing, $400.
The gas station.
I'm sure I had that.
Yeah, and
it's in the back,
it's in the back of the towel.
With the coin, right?
815 says all the Dallas newspapers from the night that Kennedy was shot and all of the following week.
Yeah, unfortunately, not too much because that was just so widely collected. Everyone, every estate sale I go to, I can usually find a few magazines or old newspapers with that. So it just hasn't,
What a lovely gift for people.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Greg, great to see you. Where are we going to see you this weekend?
I'll be at Wolf's every weekend, Saturday, Sunday, Palatine, wolfs.com with two Fs, or you can message me on Facebook or Instagram.
And what is it again? DuPage Picker?
DuPage Picker everywhere. I'll be launching my YouTube channel soon, too.
Oh, look at you. Yeah.
Going to jump in that jumping in that ring, I guess.
All right. Headlines.
Can I be a guest?
Can you sure
I be
can. Like, I was going to ask
can
all
Steve
you guys.
Steve and I just kind of come on.
You should just wander in the background.
Yeah. A couple minute video.
I'll be your assistant who holds the items.
Vanna.
Right.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
All right, 943. Listen, my friend Lou Cairo from JWC Law Firm has got plenty of important things to do. None of them involving me. But he's nice enough to come on and tell me if I'm legally in order here. Good morning, Lou.
Good morning. Nice to talk to you.
Ah, you're a good guy to come on. I appreciate this.
Thank you.
All right, I've scratched out a first draft of this legal document. I just need you to tell me if we, need to add or subtract, because we're going to buy, or we bought Mega Millions tickets from everybody, and I don't trust anybody on this show, Lou. It's going to be a big, ugly thing. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, hang on. Let me put my time clock on. Ready? Go.
All right, here we go.
Because if you're going to win, the bill's going to really be high.
I don't blame you.
That's smart.
I don't blame you at all.
That's smart.
You didn't get in this business because you weren't smart. Come on.
But if you're going to win, make sure that your contract that you have with everybody in your pool is very specific, and it expresses the intent that everybody agrees to. And make sure one of the most important things you want to put in there is, sometimes what you see, lottery tickets have spurned up a ton of litigation in divorce cases,
right?
And in work pool situations like what you're talking about now.
It's going to tear this show apart.
Yeah, what happens is for the last 10 years, we've gone in the pool every single week. Every single week, we've all put the money in. Last week, I just forgot. I didn't show up. I was sick. I went out to the store.
Yeah.
And I forgot to put my money in, but I'm supposed to be in. I'm good, right? No, because you didn't put your money in.
Nope.
So that's probably one of the most important things that's got to be in that written, not oral, that written contract, is to say the intent is you have to put your dollar in, or if you miss it, we'll cover for you, and then you make it up the following week or something of that nature. And
well,
that's
here's
where
the
people
thing.
Get up.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I may have written this in a manner that it has to be redone every week, but after we win tomorrow night, we won't need to redo it.
Here's
what I wrote. We, the winners of the Steve Cochran Show.
You should probably put our names there.
No, hold on.
I would too, because you haven't won yet. That's you're trying to predict something that hasn't happened.
I'd like to just continue, if you don't mind, Your Honor.
I object, and I sustain my objection.
We, the winners of the Steve Cochran Show, do solemnly swear that we are willing partners in a Mega Millions lottery buying collective for the drawing on 10/19/18. How am I doing so far?
So far, good. You're very specific.
Our signatures here represent our legal agreement that each of us contributed an equal amount, $2, to the buying pool to purchase a total of 10 tickets, $20. All winnings will be split in equal shares among the undersigned. And then I have slots for everybody to sign, each one of them dated.
I'm good.
You're good.
I've been fired a lot. But that covers it, doesn't it?
Lou, I think we need to specify that we're going to take it as a cash. We're taking the cash and not the, what is that thing that Dave brought up, the amortized?
You can either get lumped out over 25 years or 20 years, or you can get the discounted cash. And what they do there is they find the present cash value of that. Let's just say you win $500 million over 20 years. That's, whatever it is per year. And then they discount that, and then they take the taxes out. So, if you won $500 million and you took it all up front, you get, probably, $200 million up front. How do you live on only $200 million? I mean, I take the thing over time because you're giving away too much money.
Dave brought this up, but here's the thing. The annuity companies that are involved with Mega Millions aren't guaranteed to be in business forever. So they have a legal obligation to pay, but then you could be involved in a lawsuit with them.
Well, yeah, and I'll tell you, in the history, there's only been one annuity company that's gone bankrupt. I think it was Executive Insurance Company of New York, and this is like 25 years ago. It's the only one that went bankrupt, and it's protected by the guarantee funds, but only to a certain amount. So, yeah, you'd lose quite a bit of your fortune if you had it with an annuity company and it wasn't guaranteed by the state. Of course, it was guaranteed by the state of Illinois. You're going to lose it anyways.
Right.
I think that we should also specify in there which order we're going to stand for the photo behind the big check.
Yeah.
Well, I put you in front because I know, even though this is radio, we all know you're much better looking than your counterparts.
But that's not a great compliment. The great Lou Cairo. Lou, thank you for this, and please keep the clock running until I'm announced as the winner.
Oh, it's running. Trust me. Put my name on that list. I'll throw my $2 in.
Oh, and by the way, thank you for the work you guys are doing with Sterigenics, as we've been talking about it on the air. We'll talk about it a little more in the coming days.
Sounds great. Thank you much. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. And, all right, so how many other things do I have to add to this perfect legal contract?
We're going
to
add our names.
The names, right? I've got that.
You've got that. Okay, so we the winners.
Oh, the lump sum thing.
And the lump sum thing. And then I'd like you to put in there that you're going to take care of all of our taxes for the portion of it.
That's not going to happen.
Oh, well, that's the fun part for me.
No, if there's $200 million split up amongst eight of us, I mean, that's a lot of money.
I think it's all going to work out. I don't think we need paperwork.
And I get more because I put $3 in.
Justin is kicked back with his feet up right now. He's already won the lottery, it seems like.
I'm feeling the love, the chemistry love of this ensemble.
$25 million apiece, you can pay your own taxes.
Yeah. I think we're fine.
Yeah.
I wouldn't worry. Nothing. What's the worst that's going to... No.
Tear this show apart. Actually, that was pretty good legal advice.
It was.
So anybody listening who's planning on doing this, well, I'm willing to write your contract. It's 9:49. We'll come back, do the first football picks of the season, because we just realized the season was on. In a moment on 720 WGN.
Here we are going into week 6 of the NFL season. Have we started our fantasy football situation yet?
No.
Remember last week I made Pete vice president of fantasy football?
I order you to be quiet.
Order anything he is.
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king then?
I've done a lot of thinking about it.
Uh-huh.
I really have.
Oh, yeah, I don't doubt that.
So what I'm thinking is that each person on the staff here picks one player.
Yes, I love it. Love it.
One player.
Love it.
On what team?
You don't know what you're talking about, Dan.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, I am going to, Pete, first off, nice job in picking the lottery tickets up downstairs.
Well, it was a failure. It was an abject failure, according to Mary.
Well, listen, for Mary to call you a failure just makes it one day of the week, doesn't it? A day that ends in Y.
Well, just a lot of talk about megaplying and then not megaplying, but I don't want to get into it right now.
No, of course you don't.
Dave Plyer just called. He heard Plyer. And he thought
he was up? He's always on deck, ready to go. So we'll let you know on Monday where we are, because after we win tomorrow night, we're not coming in.
They can always check the Steve Cochran Show Facebook page. I'll put a post up.
The Steve Cochran Show is a passion play, though. Let's be honest. I don't need to get paid to do it.
Yeah, same here. I'll be in.
I'll be here.
Who was the announcer for the Tigers?
I'm laughing at both of you.
Do you know, Dave, the announcer for the Tigers?
Ernie Harwell.
Ernie Harwell. That's what he said. He said, I would have done it all even if they hadn't paid me.
Oh,
that's what he said at the end of his life.
I thought it was going to be a Limp Bizkit quote, doing it all for the nookie.
That was a different quote. I'm pretty sure Ernie Harwell never said nookie.
I just wasn't sure where Harwell was at musically.
All right, so Pete, you'll keep track of these. Tell us what we're picking.
You are picking one player.
Yes.
Just one NFL player who you believe will score the most points. Standard ESPN scoring, PPR, during this week
so
of football.
Fantasy points, not points on the field.
Just fantasy points, yeah.
Fantasy points to be scored by Pete. Dave, any questions?
If our player, I know this was brought up earlier, but I'm still confused. If our player is injured and out for the year, for instance, or is going to miss an extended period of time, do we get to redraft?
It's every week we do a new
every
player.
Week.
Oh, we're picking
pick
a player every
player.
Week? Oh, yeah. I thought we were picking
new
a
player every week. So random every week.
So week five, you know, the fifth week from now, you might be picking a tight end.
The other rule, which is awesome, is that once the player is picked, if I pick a player today, they cannot be picked again for the remainder of the season.
Right.
So by week 17, we're all going to be picking offensive linemen because that's all that's going to be left.
Picking Cody Parkey.
Yeah. could you pick kickers?
Yeah. You pick a kicker?
He'd be good, actually.
All right. Now I'm going to go first and last. First, because I forgot to call my mom and asked her to play.
Yeah.
So I'm picking for my mom.
You can't go first. He did a randomizer.
I did a random.
But he didn't know my mom was in this.
Well, so mom gets to go first?
I do have. We have 8 slots, and I have, you know, the ensemble, and then, like, I did one random slot. So
that could be mom.
Okay.
Where is she picking then?
Well, I did the random generator, and
I was a witness.
And the number one pick,
right?
And this has nothing to do with my need for Northwestern Notre Dame tickets. Dave Enick gets the number one pick.
I get the number one pick.
I thought Mary had the number one pick.
Well, I redid it today.
Oh, thank you, Pete. Then
based on your need for tickets,
with the first pick in the what's it called?
I was thinking about the Steve Cochran's morning wig.
Wig?
Morning wig.
Marty
morning wig.
Classic coach who picked an overtime game he chose to kick off.
Yes. Nobody will get that. Is there an acronym for that? That's a long thing to put
I like
on.
The morning wig.
Skim
the morning
W.
Wig.
The
morning wig. Morning wig. Okay.
And we'll change the name each week as well, because we want this to be
as confusing.
Just call it
a football frazzle or something.
I don't like your chances.
All right, we got
ready
to do this.
All right, Dave, what's your pick?
My pick is Patrick Mahomes, quarterback, Kansas City Chiefs.
Touchdown, Pete. Kansas.
Does Monday Night Football count as well?
Yes.
Yes.
I know, but there's some FanDuel that you don't do Monday night because if you do Monday night, we're going to wait till Tuesday.
No.
Yeah.
You're overthinking.
He tried to argue this with me. Right.
The number two pick goes to Mary Vandevelle.
Yes. Woohoo. I pick Todd Gurley of the L.A. Rams.
There you go.
Good look pick. At you. Solid. That's pick. A good pick.
I thank you.
Number three pick goes to Justin Kaufman.
I will take Matt Ryan.
Ooh.
Ooh, Matty Ice.
All right.
Isn't that a Monday night pick?
Yes.
It is a Monday. That's what I'm saying. It's a Monday night pick.
Number four goes
to... But you're arguing against Mondays.
You're all going to go, what a game! And I'm going to be like,
okay, moving on. That's never been a rule. Moving on.
Knock it off. Okay.
Number four, Super Joe Romano.
I'll take... who'd you take?
Justin?
Took
Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan.
Oh, Saquon? Is he available?
Yep.
Ooh, Saquon Barkley.
Barkley. Against the Falcons.
Former Penn State.
Monday night. Yeah.
Number five, Mary Sandberg Boyle.
Woo! And we're going to go Kiko Alonso, my guy. He's a linebacker.
So the Dolphins defense.
Yeah, that maybe the Dolphins.
Number six is a random.
Drew Brees. That's mom's pick. She loves New Orleans.
And number seven is Steve Cochran.
I'm not familiar with his work. Dak Prescott.
Oh, a cowboy.
Cowboys, Redskins.
Yeah, Cowboys.
Last but certainly not least, Steve Grzanich.
He's in a pre-tape. He's going to take Ezekiel Elliott. Be quiet, Bennett.
Ezekiel Elliott. Okay. All right, so there you go.
There we go.
So those will all be posted on 87 different forms of social media, including Friendster and MySpace.
That's right.
And you'll be able to keep track as well, and Pete will do the scoring.
Are we going
to
do a listener? Can a listener?
Yes, off the air.
Okay.
312-981-7200. An off-air listener right now. Call in if you want to play. You actually get prizes.
I thought the listener was going to pick one of us as
right,
their
the
rap.
Listener. Who?
That's like, a good point. The listener will pick one of us.
Like he thinks, I think Mahomes is going to.
Right. 312-981-7200. And we're back with the rest of this next on 720 WGN. Shh. People are sleeping. It's time for Bill and Wendy. How are you guys?
Fine, Steve.
Super fantastic.
Big show today?
Medium-sized show today.
Okay.
Big show tomorrow. You build up, build toward the big show.
Yeah, Summit sure. Push, Fridays. Always Fridays. Yes. Always big.
And
Fridays
we're live big. At Tree Time tomorrow, so that'll be fun, too. Oh,
treetime.com?
Yeah.
Yes. Tree Time.
It's them.
Aren't you guys up there annually? Isn't this like a tradition?
It's our little
we're
Christmas
gonna
party.
We're going to start going every month.
Really? I'm cool.
We want to go every month.
Are these real people trees, or real trees, or artificial? I'm artificial.
The people are real. The trees are artificial.
I'm artificial.
Some people are artificial.
Some people are, yeah.
Are you artificial?
I'm artificial, yeah.
Dave, artificial or real? for Christmas.
Excuse me. Artificial.
Yeah.
Artificial.
Yeah. Artificial?
Artificial.
Yeah.
We're saving the environment.
Yeah, that's what we're doing, is saving the environment.
Sandberg, artificial or real tree?
We get real.
Of course you do.
Of course you do, yeah.
How do you deal with all those needles falling around?
I have not had a major needle issue other than I take the Christmas tree out the day after Christmas.
The tree's afraid of you.
Yeah.
She's like the Grinch pulling.
I am. And the kids, they think it's so depressing.
Kids go, Christmas is over, I guess.
Oh, it's over.
It's noon.
Like it never happened. Yeah, so when you drag it out, though, that's when the needles, but I vacuum them up.
You're not a January 10th?
Oh, God.
Person?
No. And I judge you if you...
You know, Steve and Johnny? Steve and Johnny have trees up in their house all year long.
Oh.
But they decorate it, for various holidays, like Valentine's Day has hearts all over it.
That's exactly right. Hey, remember what we learned today.
What's this?
Brand new theme.
Yeah.
To Donald Trump. Whenever he walks in a room,
yes.
It's not hail to the chief, it's this.
It wasn't him.
All right? That's what we learned. At 10:03, you got to do your thing.
Wasn't me.
No, not that thing. Your thing.
Oh, the Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 7:20 on 720 WGN Chicago.